Cheeky Run Club recognises that every day we live, work and run on Aboriginal land. Welcome to episode 1 of season 2. Cheeky.
Or do we say episode 11?
I like that, because then when there's like 500, we'll be like episode 500.
Yeah,
and true. We'll be like grannies. All right. Let's roll from the top.
From the top.
Welcome to episode 11 of Cheeky Run Club, the social running podcast and community for your everyday amateur runner. Hello, baby.
Hello, Anna.
And hello, listeners.
Today, we're chatting about running nutrition. Why we need to care about it, what good looks like, the most common mistakes made, and through all this, we'll answer about 8 million listener questions. And we're very excited to say that we have a special expert guest on to help us navigate the murky, murky waters of running nutrition.
We're then going to finish off by giving some brand new running recs. But first, I think we need to address the elephant in the room. I don't even know if it's an elephant, but we're both wearing t-shirts that we did not have a couple of weeks ago.
That we haven't taken off all day.
So let's kick it off with our notable runs of the week. Phoebe, give me your best.
Your best. Well, it's got to be the Cheeky Club run this morning.
Oh.
Imagine if I didn't say
that. I'd feel personally attacked.
Yeah. So this morning we had our first ever community run. And it was amazing.
It was so good. I feel like we're still both just like on such a high.
Yeah.
It's so surreal meeting people that are like, we listen to your pod.
Yeah. Yeah. It is bizarre. I feel like I have a couple of highlights.
Yeah.
One was meeting Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
And Bridget was back in the olden days of Cheeky Run Club when we did, we set up Running Friends.
Yeah.
Bridget was one of the people who we set up with a running friend in Melbourne. And Bridget and her running friend, Sienna was away, but Bridget was there. And she was telling me that her and Sienna catch up and run together every week. She said, we're so compatible.
Oh, that's running so compatibility, nice.
Which is so exciting. I said, we need to go for a run with them.
Yeah. So my highlight, apart from just seeing everyone just get around Cheeky Run Club and everyone just uniting and going for a run together, was it was like quite early in the morning before a lot of people had arrived. And we were chatting to these two girls who we just assumed were friends. And then they commented that they had both been on the tram, obviously both in their running gear. So then introduced themselves because they were like, oh, well, you must be going to the Cheeky Club run. Anyway, and then they ran the whole, I saw them like at the end of the event and sure they were just like going back to the tram together. Actually, I can't remember their names, but one of them had just moved from Brisbane.
Yeah.
So shout out to you both.
Yeah. You know who you are.
You know who you are.
One of the things I loved was how many people came by themselves.
Yeah.
And you have to be so brave to turn up to any event by yourself.
But
something like this where you're like, yeah, I'm going to be interacting with people like you. It's easy to want the safety and comfort of lots of people you know.
Yeah.
And it's such an amazing thing that people felt like they could come. And it meant that everyone was more open to chatting and meeting
people. Yeah, definitely. Because there's not really that many times where you're sort of exposed in that sense. Like you can so often hide behind your phone when you're feeling a little bit awkward. But when you're running, obviously you can't do that. So you're out there and you're sort of forced to chat to the person next to you. And I think everyone, you literally said to everyone, your one job for today is to, like, if you see someone by themselves or the person running next to you, just say hi and introduce yourself. And I genuinely think that everyone did that.
It was so good.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, like, before with, like, you can hide behind your screens, even for us, like, we sit here and talk into these microphones every week, but we don't see the people who are listening.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to meet all these awesome people. They're like, oh my God, like, you listen to us.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. You listen to me?
Yeah. Are you sure you're going to be doing this? I was like, they're going to find out how lame we are.
Yeah, I know. We're way cooler in your headphones.
Heavily edited.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I want to say a big thanks to one of my colleagues, Melissa, for coming with her two daughters, Emily and Maddie. She went for a run on Wednesday night because she wasn't sure if she would be able to make the distance. But I saw her. She was running by herself with the triple M in her ears.
Loves it. During the event.
During the run. So she actually was probably the minority who didn't say hi to anyone when she was running. But still, you get a shout out.
Oh, that is so good. Okay, another highlight.
Okay.
One more. Was a highlight.
Oh.
Because we'd been looking at getting just two t-shirts basically for us printed just so we had something to wear.
Selfish, really.
Yeah, yeah. And on I think Monday or even Tuesday, it was like, what if let's just print out heaps of them and like maybe people will buy them pretty much. And so we went on this frantic quickly.
Are you going to tell the full story?
Well, now I guess we have to. go on.
Phoebe very nicely ordered the t-shirts.
Thank you.
But anyway, I was just perusing.
Double checking my work. You do.
Our Gmail account.
Everything's on as relaxed as she is. Double clicking on every link I send.
Anyway, I was just going over Phoebe's email of the order confirmation, and I'd noticed that she'd ordered the Martina t-shirt cropped. And so I messaged her saying, hey, Phoebe, just wondering if you're meaning to order the cropped t-shirts or if this was an oversight.
This was on Wednesday.
This was Wednesday.
Run is Friday morning and I've ordered crop tops.
Phoebe's also in a meeting.
Yeah, I'm in a meeting and I'm seeing Anna's messages come through and I was like, oh my God. Oh no, I haven't ordered a crop top. But with some last minute, Anna jumped in, called the company, got things reorganized very fast and efficiently. And then lo and behold, the shirts got there on time and we love them.
We love them.
Yeah. And they sold out pretty much very quickly.
Yeah.
By the end of the event, they were voluntarily all gone. And we have decided to do another run.
Yes. So, yeah, if you are a cheeky friend, then buy a t-shirt.
Oh, but no pressure. If you like us, you buy our t-shirts.
If we're in your ears right now, you must buy a t-shirt.
Oh, I love it. Oh, we've got to do worse runs.
Oh, sorry. Oh gosh. I haven't thought of this. Well, let's hear it.
It was yesterday.
Oh.
I thought it might be
yours. Actually, yeah, maybe it might too.
And you know what? It's a great worst story to tell because it's really relevant to this episode. Yeah, the content. At least for me.
I agree. Yeah.
So I had a really bad run yesterday. I had a really long session.
Yeah.
It was the longest session I've done in ages. And we just had a really big week. I think it's fair to acknowledge. Yep. We've been really excited about this event and like planning little things. You know, we've never run an event before, so
some may say a little manic.
A little manic, some may say. And I just was less organized than I usually am. So normally if I'm doing a long session like this, I prepare, I would like eat more the night before, I would fuel well the morning of, I would have maybe like a gel or something for the run.
Yeah.
And I woke up on Thursday morning and I opened my cupboard and then I'd run out of bagels, which I thought I had bagels. And I had nothing in the house. So I started the run on an empty tank and I felt terrible.
Oh.
I was running like, we did an effort the week before and it was a bit shorter, but I was running so much slower. My heart rate was higher. I was doing it by myself so that I was making it harder. And I just felt like I hit a wall like 2Ks in.
Yeah.
And it was just pushing through. I didn't end up finishing the session. I stopped a little bit early and just like jogged back feeling so flat. And then that day, I was like, I couldn't get on top of my fatigue.
Yeah.
I was tired all day. I had a massive day at work. I had a few meetings that I was, you know, really needing to kind of bring the energy for. Mm. And I was like really frustrated with myself because I just hadn't. It's such a simple thing to get right.
Yeah. Sometimes it's almost easier if you can blame.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
any other factor.
People or like or other maybe the weather like was bad circumstances. It's like everything was fine. But that's on you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks, Anna. Phoebe, you've messed up.
You've been a bad girl. Yeah.
Okay, Anna. What about you?
I actually think yesterday was probably my worst one as well.
Yeah, we had a show. overdid it this week.
Yeah, though. I think overdid it a little bit this week with life in general. And I also had a longer session. And yeah, I just really struggled. So our friend Ollie and I, we normally run together. And I feel like normally we're pretty even. But he was well and truly dragging me around yesterday. Which is concerning because I feel like... Well, I'm about to say it, but it becomes so much more real when I say it on the podcast. But I have a bet.
Yeah.
Our young friend Ollie, we're both doing the Gold Coast half at the start of July. And if I beat him, he has to get a cheeky run club tattoo.
The stakes are high.
The stakes are high. If he beats me, I have to go to the drinks that evening in a banana suit.
Which we're going to have to source. From somewhere.
Yeah, or not.
Or not. She's confident.
Yesterday during the session is the first time where I've been running with him being like, oh gosh, I do not have the upper hand here.
Yeah, and so why do you think you didn't feel good?
So last week I did my biggest running week ever. Yeah. I've like never run so far. So I reckon I'm probably a little bit tired from that. And then, yeah, similar to you, I have just had quite a big week. Mm. My podcast partner ordered the wrong t-shirts. But yeah, that was my worst run of the week.
Do you know what? I feel like for both of us, we've spoken before about how running is like how you're feeling in your running is a good kind of proxy for how well you're treating yourself in life in general. I feel like we've probably both been pushing it a little bit. And maybe we'll set a mini goal. This episode next week, when we're recording next week, we both are feeling better.
Okay.
Like more recovery.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
Some accountability.
Challenge accepted. Our main topic this week is fueling your runs. First of many running nutrition episodes will do. This will be a general introduction to running nutrition. Specifically, we want to understand how eating impacts running and vice versa. We're going to touch on pre-run, during run and post-run as well as common mistakes.
And we are very excited to be joined by accredited dietitian, passionate runner and our friend Em Massey. Welcome Em, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, cheeky girl.
Before we dive into all the fueling questions that we have for you, we thought it'd be nice for the listeners to get to know you a little bit better. And so what keeps you running today?
Definitely community and social connection. I love that you can exercise and catch up with your mates and fit all of that in before you go to work. But I think the reason why I run changes every day. Like, I think sometimes it's social connection, sometimes it's just to be with myself. Other days it's to do something hard and to prove to myself that I can do that. I love setting goals. I love that side of running as well. And like particularly like over the marathon distance, I love being able to set a goal and work towards that.
Let's dive into our main topic. It's a big one, running nutrition. So to start off, can you tell us how does eating impact our running?
This feels like what could be the topic of an English exam in 12, and I have the next 3 hours to respond to it.
With 15 minutes reading time.
Yeah, I definitely need it. No, well, it's a big question. I've found running or started taking it more seriously when I started university, and at that same time I was just starting 5 years of study of nutrition and dietetics and then working in the field for a little bit as well. And I suppose looking back retrospectively, it just really allowed me to apply what I was learning as I was studying to running. And I had to start thinking more about how running was impacting day-to-day for me. So how I was performing at uni and at work and at home with my family and friends. Because I think once running takes on a bigger role in your life, and by that I mean it's taking up more of your time, nutrition not only starts to impact running, but it's more performance across your life holistically. Mm. When you're eating in a long run, let's say, I also consider how will taking on this fuel right now help me recover, and how's that going to make me feel when I'm sitting at lunch this afternoon with my friends, and how am I going to be showing up for them in that moment? So it starts and ends, not just when the run starts and ends. There are so many factors that impact what you eat and what you're able to eat. So just to reel off a couple of examples, but allergies, intolerances, shout out to Olivander's and gluten-free buddies. Then like the socio-political choices and preferences that people have around food. So whether you're vegan, vegetarian, how much you are able to or do consider sustainability and ethical practices when it comes to food prep and production, cultural influences in food choice, accessibility, affordability. And then there's just time. Like there's only so much time in the day that we have to think about and prepare food. And then one of the most influential things I think as well is the influence of the relationship that we have with food ourselves. Going out and being curious both with yourself but information that exists out there about food too, to understand where you're at with your relationship with food before you can even start to think about how is that going to fuel me when I'm out running and I need to rely on this to help me to perform. So I suppose the underlying message at the end of all of that is, while I spent 4 or 5 years studying the science of nutrition and where I can try to best keep up to date with how that evolves over time, because it is an ever-changing field of science, it is an applied science. And so as much as it is a science, there is art to how that is applied to your life for you as an individual and for how that is applied to you as an athlete. And what may work for one person or one athlete won't work for the next person. So be curious, ask questions, understand what other people are doing, but you need to give it a go yourself to understand it if it'll work for you. Mm. And you need to tinker and experiment and figure out what's going to work best for you. So I think go see a sports dietitian, talk to someone who knows what they're doing and can give you personalized and individualized advice, because while today I'll mostly try to talk to themes and general practices and general evidence that applies in this field to really understand what's best for you as an individual, you need to go and unpack and find that out for yourself.
Another potential consideration here that I feel like I see a lot in the running community: if you don't see yourself as like a runner or an athlete, which a lot of people who just casually run don't, you don't actually think you need to take your nutrition seriously. And I think for ages I kind of rolled my eyes at the idea of going and seeing a dietitian or changing my diet, because I was like, oh, I'm just kind of casually running. And it took me so long to understand, to almost give permission to myself to think, okay, you can still care about this, and it is always going to impact you.
I think definitely. And not only taking it seriously, but to that point, I think by virtue of that and by how much marketing and misinformation there is on social media, it's really hard to know what to take on face value, what to be more critical of. And I think just putting that critical lens on when it comes to nutrition is really important. And that would be one of my biggest pieces of advice, if I can leave anything on this podcast, is if someone is presenting you like a 6 to 10 word sentence on a quick solve or a solution to something, it's likely not going to be the answer.
I'm keen to unpack a little bit more about the relationship between running and eating. What impact does it have on someone's running or life, as you say, if they're underfueling?
I think with underfueling, sometimes it can be a really hard thing to pick up on. I think as well, when you're new to running and if you're slowly increasing the mileage that you're running, it can really creep up on you. And I think it probably starts to show in other areas of your life before it starts to impact your running. So I think some of the telltale signs would be that you're more fatigued when you're running. You might find that your hunger patterns and your appetite is changing to how it was previously. Lapses in concentration and just cognitive function at work, I think a lot of people will identify with that, having that slump in the afternoon anyway, but paying attention to whether that's happening earlier in the day. Just that general sense of lethargy within yourself as well, like if you're feeling just generally tired and heavy. And then if you are underfueling, that can then trend into injury risk and decreased immune function, which means you're at risk of getting sick. And then looking at REDS, or relative energy deficiency in sport, that looks at when you've underfueled for a significant period of time, and then that results in loss of menstrual function, and then that can lead to, or often is a precursor for, bone stress in women particularly. But again, I think that topic in and of itself needs a whole episode of unpacking.
But honestly, I think even that is, it's so useful, because exactly like you said, I was running more and I hadn't learned how to change the way that I was eating. And I was feeling really fatigued, but I put that down to running more. And obviously running more is going to make you a little bit more fatigued, but nowhere near to the extent that I was experiencing it. But just because I didn't have a framework in my head to understand what might actually be, what can I attribute to the way that I'm eating as opposed to just the way that I'm expending my energy with my running.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of that, is there a way to sort of distinguish between being tired from running more, that adaptation and that stress on your muscles, and being exhausted because you're not fueling enough?
I think being intentional with how you're reflecting on your activity and like how long that fatigue's been showing up for and what you've changed that may potentially be impacting you feeling fatigued. But I also think it's really hard to pull out that it's just running and it's just connected to how much you're eating, because it could be your sleep. It could be, something else in your life is stressing you and that's making you feel more fatigued. And it's probably just reflecting on what you have eaten relative to what you've had on in the last couple of days. But I always say that if in doubt, just have a treat. Because I think just getting a couple of extra 100 calories in for the day, topping up and like being sure that you've nailed it for
topping
the day.
Up, I love
it. Top up.
Have a treat. I'm topping up.
If in doubt. Are you able to break down the core pillars of a runner's diet, like proteins, carbs and fats? And how does this change as you get more serious with your running?
As a blanket rule, the more that you're running, the higher your carbohydrate intake is going to have to be. And as a result of that, the energy contributed from fats and protein will change a little bit. I'd say it's probably going to impact more your fat intake, because you're going to be wanting to keep your protein intake relatively stable and like up around the recommended amount, which is still a very big range. It's from 1.6 grams to 2.2 grams per kilogram of body weight per day. So you can do that math while you're out running.
So what if you're sort of like a 70 kilogram female, that's roughly around 140 grams of protein a day. That's a lot of protein.
Yeah, I think when I'm thinking about the approach to nutrition for a runner, I think about it as pre-run, during run, post-run. Mm-hmm.
So let's dive into that. Let's talk about eating before a run, which is probably the thing that I reckon a lot of our listeners have the most trouble with. Like, so many questions around how do I, like, I'm not hungry when I first wake up in the morning, like no concept of like eating before a run. So are carbs the goal before run? You're just thinking about carbs pretty much?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Start with something like a banana or peanut butter and banana on toast. If you do have really sensitive stomach, starting with something like a banana 2 hours out from your run's a good place to start. And then progressing and closing that gap between run start time and when you're eating. Mm-hmm. So ideally getting as close to, you can wake up 15 minutes before you run and you can have a banana and then you're fine. If you can't wake up early enough to have something before the run, ideally the night before when you go to bed, or like when you're eating dinner, thinking about, okay, let's have a treat, let's top up. Consider where in the week you can swap maybe a run or two to the afternoon, so you can start to implement, how can I practice nutrition and working that into my afternoon run? And one of our friends, Carly, is known to eat muesli bars while we're running.
And the banana.
Yeah. So once you can handle whole grains while you're out jogging, you know, you're doing well.
Yeah.
And let's talk about eating during a run. Something we get questions on a lot is that, when do you start considering eating while you're running?
Anywhere from that 75 minute to 90 minute plus mark is where I would start thinking about taking on something while you're running, because that's going to be putting more strain and stress on your body. So you're going to be wanting to get more fuel in, so it improves your recovery. The other thing, and why it's that 75 to 90 minute window, is your body can fuel roughly 90 minutes of aerobic exercise without needing that top up with the glycogen stores that it has.
And in relation to what we should be eating during the run, do you have a preference from a dietetics lens on whether or not gels are the way to go, or are you okay to have lollies, or in my case, apricot bites?
Yeah. So you're looking for a sugar hit.
Yeah.
Something that's easy on your gut when you're taking on fuel when you're running.
Yeah.
This can be anything. Lollies, gels, bananas, dried fruit, whatever works for you. I think when it comes to preparing for race day, you need to give more consideration to, can I chew that while I'm breathing heavily?
Yeah.
My mouth's going to be really dry. Is that food texture what I want?
Am I going to be able to get it down?
At that stage of the race? Yeah, correct. The closer I get to a race, I'll try to simulate in long runs or in training what I want to do on the race day.
Let's say you're not training for a race.
Yeah.
What's your favorite mid-run fuel?
I've recently switched from Allen Snakes to, is it natural confectionery?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, texture's better.
Really? I completely agree.
Yeah, it's like softer. I feel like there's better variety in the flavours.
I just wanted to join the conversation. Neither of those are celiac friendly.
But
I do remember when I was a kid that the Allen's Snakes and lollies, they had like a certain grease to them that I don't think the natural confectionery ones do. Oh. Leave a like oily kind of taste in your mouth.
They're a bit juicier.
Yeah, that the natural confectionery just doesn't.
Apparently lollies are oiled. Before, that's the last step of the production line to stop them from sticking together.
Yeah, okay.
Wow. Mm. So maybe they've got a bit too much oil in their oiling machine. You're onto them.
I'm onto them and I don't even need them.
Oil.
Do you have any tips of how to not get a stitch during your run while taking on board fuel?
I think the best tip to preventing and mitigating is that practice.
Yeah.
When you first start out trying taking on fuel when you're running, do that as a jog. And like at a really easy pace. I think often where people run into trouble with gut upset when they're running and they get a stitch is where they haven't practiced taking on that fuel when they're running at pace. I think trialing the intensity at which you're running, potentially adding in some walking, if you're having a gel, like sipping on it rather than taking it in a big gulp, or to your point, if you're eating a snake, just nibbling away at it for a little bit. Even just trying putting a lolly in your mouth and sucking on it. So like you're getting used to like the sensation of having food in your mouth and that sweeter taste when you're running. Because quite often with gut upset, it can become a bit of a psychological thing too. Like, you know, when you get anxious, you get butterflies.
Yeah.
It's that same thing of, oh, I'm nervous about taking this nutrition because I know it's going to give me a stitch or it's going to upset my stomach, and you're almost talking yourself into it. So just trying to really ease yourself into that process.
Let's talk about eating post-run. What should we be thinking about when we're fueling post-run?
Post-run, here's where you want to be starting to think more about protein, because that aids muscle repair and recovery. And there's a lot of info out there around getting protein in within 30 minutes after you finish your exercise window. And there's actually been some like relatively recent research come out about this, because for a very long period of time, the understanding was that when you sat down to have a meal, your body could only absorb roughly 20 to 30 grams of protein. And so that 30-minute window post-exercise became really important, because if you didn't get that amount in then, it was then limiting the amount of protein that you could get in for the rest of the day. I suppose the myth or the belief that has been changed as a result of this recent research is that our bodies can absorb, they actually don't know where that ceiling is for protein absorption.
Oh, wow. That's
now, interesting. Which is great, because it just means there's more flexibility in that. But in saying that, I still think the best approach to have, making sure that you still are fueling for whatever is ahead of you for the rest of your day. And I think fasting for longer periods can put you at a risk of energy deficiency, which is what we were talking about before. So it puts you at a risk of underfueling. So having that meal as soon as you can post-run becomes really important for that. So the more you eat, the better.
Yeah. If in doubt, have a treat.
Have a treat.
Top up. Love to hear. I'm actually so interested to hear what you think.
Phoebe's like smiling through the microphone. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm kind of scared about what the question's going to be.
You have the nutrition expertise, but you also are a runner and see so many runners and their behaviours around food. What is the most common mistake that you see people make?
I think it's a fueling in long run one. Whether it's not eating or whether it's just not taking on enough during that long run. And also just the practice and getting in the repetition and gut training of taking on fuel when you're long running is so important.
So let's take that example. If you're doing a long run.
Yeah.
Let's say a 2-hour long run.
Yeah.
What would you have before?
Yeah.
How long before? What would you have during? And what would you have after?
So say if we start our long run on Saturday at 7 a.m., I'll get up at 5 a.m. and have 2 pieces of toast. Sometimes a banana and a coffee.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
Why so early?
It's a little bit of personal preference. I like having the time to just mentally prepare and wake up and feel good before a long run because
they're hard.
There's nothing worse. I'm getting old.
I need to wake up. These old bones.
Genuinely. And I also think that time between waking up and starting the run is good to get into like regular bowel habits as well because, again, race day, no one needs that.
Yeah.
Although I reckon one of my hidden talents is knowing where all the public toilets are in Melbourne. Like, I reckon I could create like a broadsheet article of
toilets.
Best to worst.
Oh, we should absolutely do that.
Yeah, but I'm not telling you where the good, like the top.
Yeah, because then they'll become the worst.
Yeah, I need to preserve. But then getting to the run, then every 35 minutes within the run, I'll have either 2 or 3 snakes, or if I'm approaching a race, I'll have 2 gels within that as well. I also like to overfuel on some of these long runs, have more than what I would on race day, because to me that helps train my gut and makes it more resilient to other stresses that it will be under on race day, like the intensity that I'm running. And when you are running, your blood is redirected from your gut to your muscles because they're what's working and what needs your attention. So that's often where that stitch feeling comes from as well. So I just try and smash it really. And then post-run, I'll have a Rockabies chocolate protein smoothie. And again, like when I was talking at the start around all the things that influence food choice and what you eat, I started having those because they were easily accessible at service stations on the way home from a long run. And pretty much no matter where I was, I could get one.
Yeah.
Like prior to that, I was having like a Big M chocolate milk, which is also fine if that's if that's your jam. But when I saw this product and it has 30 grams of protein as well, I'm like, that's perfect. And then for me, like 90 minutes to 2 hours after that, once blood started coming back to my stomach and it's come back to life a little bit, that's when I'll have eggs on toast or go find a nice sandwich. I think as well, like when you go for a long run, it takes it out of you. And if you have to go to like a social function, like I've had weddings 30th, like everything the last 6 months, and you just don't want to be feeling like crap in the afternoon. You want to know that you've got energy to fuel you through the other things that you want to do. And yeah, I guess rounding out the chat, going back to what I was saying at the start of, I like to think that there's periods of training where running exists around my life. Then there's other times where I'm like, nah, I really want to like dial in and train for this, and then life will exist around running. So I think nutrition is a tool that you can really lean on and use to your advantage to be able to power you through the things that you want to do.
Thank you so much for coming on today. That has been so insightful.
Thanks so much. Our final segment today, we're bringing back some running recs. So Anna and I both thought of some really good running recs over the break. Anna, you might get you to kick it off. What's your running rec?
So quite timely with this episode, my running rec is a drink.
Okay.
And it's not Rockabies.
Oh, right.
Because I feel like actually, I don't think I've officially...
It can be a bonus running rec.
...given them a rec, but I'm sort of like, normally I'm Rockabies or nothing. Like if there's not a Rockabies, I'm not having a like protein drink. But I have come into contact with the Body Science Sport banana flavored protein milk drinks. This isn't for the faint hearted. It takes me back to being like a 5-year-old kid having a banana paddle pop at the beach when everything's like melting over your arm. It's that really fake banana flavor, almost like those banana lollies, but in this milk drink. And it's cold, goes down so well after a run.
So it's in the cold section of supermarkets?
It's in the aisle okay. section. So in so like the nutrition aisle. But I got it from petrol station and I first tried it and it was in the fridge.
Yeah.
But they are so good. There's like 30 grams of protein in it and good bang for your buck.
Yeah. Love yeah. it.
What about you? What's your running rate?
Okay, so I've had a submission from my brother Joe. This is for people with shin splints.
Yeah.
Okay, and first of all, I just want to say...
This is way more highbrow than my rec.
Wait till you hear it. First of all, I just want to say, if you're experiencing shin splints right now, I'm sorry. They are brutal. And they are really like, this isn't going to help. But I feel like they're really looked down upon as a running injury. Like, you know, you get a stress fracture or something. It's like, whoa, you're hardcore. Shin splints are like...
Oh, sweetie.
Oh, God. I have had my fair share of shin splints. So... this is coming from a place of deep, deep empathy. So this is a shin splint hack that I wish I'd known.
Mm.
And Joe has done this a number of times. So the hack is get a paper cup, fill it up with water, pop it in the freezer the night before you need to go for a run.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning, wake up, take it out of the freezer, cut the bottom off the paper cup and pull it off. So you've got exposed kind of nub of ice, and then
that sounds so aggressive.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that. Then apply the nub of ice. We got a snort.
This is a snort.
Apply the nub of ice like it's chapstick to your shins.
Oh.
Yeah, and it like really decreases the inflammation.
Yeah, that would feel so nice.
Yeah, and do it like right before your run so it's really soothed.
Yeah.
And then you can obviously do it after when you get, you know, put the nub back in the freezer for a bit. Pull it back out when you're ready and apply again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Love it.
I hopefully I won't need chives because I won't get shin splints. Mm. But yeah, the idea is like it's really intense ice. Like there's nothing between you
and it doesn't hurt your skin.
I think you'd want it to be like a little bit moist. Yeah, maybe run some water.
you want the nub to be moist.
Oh my god, I'm not freaking mad.
Most nubs are the best nubs.
Out of control.
I'm tired.
Just imagine if it's wet, it'll just slide a little bit nicer. I didn't
even... Thanks, Joe.
That's it for season one of episode two. Okay, and it's like when toddlers haven't had their nap. I feel like that's us right now.
Yeah,
it's like
actually.
Okay, that's it for
like crying.
Season
episode 11. That's it for episode 11.
Cut us off.
Anyway, thank you so much for everyone for listening. If you're still here with us,
yeah,
thank you for coming this morning.
Thank you, all of it.
I was gonna say, I was sitting here before being like, oh, this is really nice.
Yeah,
yeah,
good to be really back. Nice. And hopefully, you feel the same way.
Yeah, if you haven't already, please subscribe to us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We really, really appreciate it. And we can't wait to be in your ears next week, hopefully with a little more energy and a little less giggles.
Less energy, I reckon.
Yeah. Bye.
I was trying to pull back and make it sound like a sock.
Oh my god, I'm like fully crying.
Nice. Oh, I think we can include that.
Follow us on Instagram, tag us in any of your...
Buy our merch. Give us shout outs.